Welcome to Publishing Cousins, where family meets the fascinating world of books. I'm Melissa Lesher, the author.
And I'm Nikki Becker, the illustrator.
We are partners in publishing.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in publishing? Well, you're in the right place. Every episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on this wild and wonderful industry, sharing our own creative adventures, and dishing out hard-earned wisdom about writing and illustrating for publication.
From manuscript mayhem to deadline drama, from sketch submissions to final flourishes, we're bringing you the real deal, served with the hefty side of cousin banter and plenty of laughs. Whether you're dreaming of seeing your own work in print or you're just a book lover curious about how the magic happens, we've got something special for you.
So grab your favorite beverage, settle into your comfy chair, and join us for an insider's journey through the world of publishing. We're the Publishing Cousins, and we can't wait to share our stories with you.
Welcome back, everyone, to another Publishing Cousins episode. And this one is really spiraling off of last episode, because we're going to talk a lot more about finding when you are most productive and how to maximize that time with batch working and then blocking that time off on your calendar. So, Nikki, you are probably even more of a pro at this than I am, but how do you figure out the best time of the day when you're most productive?
I think it, unless you just already know from jobs that you've had in the past, or, you know, depending on where you're at in your career, whether it's publishing or something else, it really is trial and error. I always knew that, I don't know if it stems from childhood or not, but I was always the kid that did really good homework the minute I got off the bus and got into the house to sit down with it. If I got home and played a little bit to unwind and then tried to pick homework up after, I couldn't do it. I had a hard time. So it was kind of like, I have to just kind of segue into that. And I kind of thought for a lot of years that my best time was that late afternoon. But I have found in my adult years that I am most productive, and I can pinpoint time between 10 and noon and 1 and 2. I usually take a noon break. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's a half hour. Sometimes it's a whole hour. It just depends on what I need. But I tend to really be best at being most productive. Like, I get the most done, or I'm really efficient with my time in those time blocks. So I like to get up at a normal time. You know, I have an internal clock. I don't usually need an alarm clock. So I'm usually up 6:30, 7 o'clock, take care. I've got dogs, so I take care of the dogs. I make a cup of coffee. And I sit down with my calendar first thing in the morning. And if I don't sit down with that calendar, I am a mess. I have to have that plan in my head. I have to know what that plan is for the day. And it's okay if I don't cross something off. Now, on the days that I cross everything off and I add to even, I celebrate that in the evening. You know, whether it's just a woohoo and then my own little pat on the back, or if it's more of, you know, you, especially if you end it like at 5 o'clock, if I complete my list by 5 o'clock, it's like, I'm taking the night off. I am. That is my reward for doing a good job today. You do, you reward yourself for that stuff. And I think that that's another good thought there, is that, you need to work this business every day. I really preached that last episode, but it's okay to reward yourself. You should reward yourself. Whether it's self-care things, like, I love nothing better than a foot bath. Have you ever done that? Oh my God. I love to end a really busy day with a foot bath. Epsom salts, you know, some kind of essential oil, usually citrus, makes me really happy. It just, you know, but those self-care things are important. Go out and do something fun, catch dinner, catch a movie, catch, you know, do something like that. I reward myself when I really do a good job keeping to my schedule and crossing things off my list. I find that it's insanely gratifying to highlight the items on your list when you when you're done with them during the day. I live by getting to mark that off with the highlighter. And
you highlight, I scratch it, I draw a line through it. Okay. Done.
I scribble on top of it if I didn't get to it that day, and I move it to the next day or whenever it's going to fit best in my schedule next. But there is nothing more gratifying to me. It's like being a kid and getting that gold sticker. You know, that gold star sticker. It's highlighting. And I've even, okay, this is, whether this is overachieving, OCD, ADHD, I have no idea what this is. But I even have multiple color highlighters for different tasks. So your home chore task is a color, your illustration task is a color, graphic design is a color. You know, whatever I'm working on that day, wherever it fits into my business plans or house chore, whole, you know, whatever it is, I pull out the different colors because it feels really good to know, especially when you've got three things, you know, multiple things from each category, you know, crossed off, that you did it all today. You got it all done.
I generally, it's the morning and I do well until I eat lunch. There's something about eating that then makes me tired and I'm ready to take a nap. And so I try to fill my afternoon then with moving. I need to be up. I need to be moving. Otherwise, I will take a nap. And some days my body just says you do need to take a nap, which my husband thinks is hilarious because I'm a 39-year-old woman who still naps in the afternoon sometimes. Now, this is like summertime, guys, when school's out. Obviously, when school's going on. My work zone, my work time, I don't get a choice. I don't get to work on this stuff during my productive hours. I'm spending those hours at work, which is fine. I get a lot done at work, and which is great. But I would say having that routine that you talked about is really helpful too, as far as I get up, I do this, and then I'm headed into the day. A lot of people like to have their list going, which is great. I'm noticing as I get older, I need that list because otherwise there are those little tiny details that I forget. And if you could see what's in my bookshelf in front of me, you would see lots of sticky notes. I'm a sticky note person that say you need to do this, you need to do this. And actually, I just saw a sticky note right here that I'm like, I can take it down and throw it away, which makes me happy.
Yeah. Right?
And I do the same thing at work. I have sticky notes all over and it drives me nuts that they're all over. But that's what keeps me going to say I have to get that done so I can pull that sticky note down. And
do you put them in order of most important priority, though, on your bookshelf?
I do not. They're just wherever I can slap them up. See, there, wherever I have space.
My level of OCD-ness, I don't know if it's OCD. I don't know what it is. I would have to rearrange them every time I've got to rearrange this and put the top priority first. Like,
yeah.
But that's, you know, you've got to find those little quirky habits or rituals that keep you on top of this and top of your business, because it is a business. It absolutely is a business.
And so we
need your passion, but it still is a business. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky enough to have these talents and passions that we can then turn into a business. I mean, that's a wonderful blessing.
Yes, it is. I would agree. And I know we talked about this a little bit last time, as far as using your calendar then. So once you find those sweet spots, this is the time I work the best, and then blocking that out. So the one thing we wanted to go a little bit further in is batch working, because some people may not have heard of what batch working is. And so basically that is saying that you're going to work on just this one thing. Because generally, and so that's where last time, remember I talked about, like, I'll do like 6 to 8 hours on one thing. And that is because once I'm in the groove, I can move faster because I've been doing it. So you can just kind of batch it out. So like if I've got, you know, 5 blog posts that need to get written, posted, and scheduled, I should batch that all and do it all at once, because you're already in that mindset and in that groove, rather than going like, I'm going to spend half an hour here and then a half an hour here and a half an hour there. It's just not as productive, because your brain, you're making your brain switch gears constant. So there's not like this workflow that you get. But then I do take a step back and say, I realize there are some people that say, I cannot go on one thing for 4 to 6 hours. So there are days where I do a 2-hour cycle. Just the days I know that I'm a little, I don't know what you want to call it, like ADD. Yeah. that day. And so I'm like, okay, let's do a 2-hour cycle on it. But how do you do it? Do you batch it?
It's really depending on what the needs are of the day. So generally my day resembles in the morning, I sit down with that calendar and I see, you know, I kind of plan based on priority. I put the most attention needed or the most focus where the priorities that need the most focus, I put in my top peak hours of production. So that means if I'm coloring, if I'm finishing final art for a piece, that is going to go in the time blocks where I'm most productive in the day, especially on rainy days. Sunny days, I'm better at being productive longer. This is really going out there. Rainy days, I have to put them in that 10, 11, 12, 1-2 hour slots. Now I might jump and I might put, you know, say if I'm working on two different projects where I'm juggling two different books at a time, then I'll put one project into that morning slot, and then I put the second project in the afternoon slot. But if I'm painting and doing anything in color where I'm finalizing it, it goes in those slots. Now, I spend the mornings on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Because I do carry a part-time graphic design job as well for right now. I've through the years, I've done that, and then I've gotten a big workload for a while, and I've went full-time illustration, then I fall back into graphic design part-time. So it's a little side hustle on occasion when I need it to pay the bills or to just, you know, save up for something big that I want. So those morning hours, so before I come up and really sit down at the studio desk, I generally do my social media posts first thing in the morning on those days. Graphic design days, I jump into graphic design stuff pretty much right away and do any writing or note-taking first thing. And then I get my note-taking done first, because you're starting to think about it. It's a good warm-up to move into my peak hours. So I do, you know, if I have a new manuscript, I do that right away, because then I can start sketching in my peak hours. But I tend to do that morning warm up, and then I do my peak hour stuff, and I usually have a cool down. Now I tend to have a second wind right around the 8 o'clock hour at night. That's the time that JC and I are usually home, and we sit down and we'll binge watch a video or a sitcom or something. But I can't just sit and watch TV. My hands don't allow me to just sit. I've got to be, if not, I'd be a fidget mess. So I'd be over here clicking pins and, you know, he'd be having a fit. So I, luckily enough, you can have a sketchbook anywhere, or an iPad, or, you know, something that you can doodle, and I doodle every night or draw.
But like we mentioned before, we know people that work best from that, like 9 to midnight, yes. You know, so you have to find that on your own. But what we're encouraging you to do is find that time and then maybe try doing some batch working or just protecting that time on your calendar to say, this is when I'm going to work. So find your productive times, and then find a system for how to organize your tasks for the day.
And we all do that a little differently too. Like Melissa loves to use her phone. Like your calendar is on your phone, is it not?
It is, but I mean, I have it on my computer too. And the calendar is my best friend.
But it's digital.
And it is, because I have a work calendar, right? And then I have my writing, my personal calendar, and then I have my business calendar, and they all come together in one, right? So that I don't double book myself, because before I connected all those, it would be like, at work somebody would say, hey, can you stay after and help me do this? Or are you up? Can we do a impromptu meeting? Just the role I'm in, that happens a lot. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait, I already scheduled something for the business, like an interview with somebody. So then I have to turn around and tell so-and-so, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't. So for me personally, because I'm juggling so much at once, I have to go off those calendars.
So I'm the exact opposite of you. Mine has to be paper and pen, paper or pencil. I cannot function with a digital calendar. I don't know why, because I'm a completely functioning digital human being. But a calendar, I have to have a three-dimensional calendar. It has to be a paper. Like, I have to be able to flip pages. I have to be able to write in it and mark it off with a highlighter. Like, it's just, it's so weird to me.
But you're not alone. Our secretaries at the school and a lot of our teachers still want the paper pencil when it comes to their calendar and lesson planning. So you're not alone.
There was something there. We were talking about finding the small increments of time throughout your day when you have everything else in the world to do. And this is like a dream of yours to be an illustrator or an author. You really need to really write your schedule down and look where the holes are.
Yeah. It just goes managing that time one step at a time, and you'll get there. Eventually you'll get built up and knock a bunch of stuff off your to-do list for sure. So stick with it, guys. Find that sweet time. That's your most productive time of the day. And then batch out your work according to what needs done first, but also your heaviest workload at the top with your lightest at the bottom. So definitely just find the time and you got it. I'm excited because our next episode, we're going to look at social media, which is all Nikki. I'll share a little bit too, but she's going to be our pro for sure. So check back here. We're going to look at social media next. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Publishing Cousins. If you enjoyed our creative conversation today, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love it if you could rate, review, and share the show. It helps other book lovers find us. You can learn more about Nikki's portfolio and Melissa's novels at publishingcousins.com. And if you have questions about writing, illustrating, or publishing that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, send them our way at literaryscape@literaryscape.com. Until next time, keep creating, and remember, in publishing, as in family, there's always room for more stories.